The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
If you give me a minute, I got a mythology book right here. I can pull it out and read you the entire story.
I think we're all right. I think that was a good summary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to... Hey, it feels like it's the season. It's, I guess, we're still the preseason. Your favorite preseason show in the whole wide world. With me, as always, your friend of mine, Derek Van Reber.
I think that was your best under-the-radar intro yet. Like the word radar specifically. That was your best radar so far.
Appreciate that. And back. Not with us as always, but he's back.
Right.
My friend and yours, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friend. Sorry I missed last week's show. It was so much fun to listen to, though. And it was a really, really great show. I got good feedback from a lot of people. And it was great. But I had unfortunately, my wife got into a little fender bender, and I was on the phone with insurance, and you guys were kind enough to... do it without me. But it was fun to listen to, and you guys are great. But
you were missed.
I missed doing it, so very happy to be back.
All right. So on today's show, I'm basically using the show as a vehicle for my own research. I got a bunch of very under the radar, like Ian didn't even believe one of the names. players, which I've got decisions to make because keepers are due today in one league, and I don't know, score sheet hasn't even started up yet. But anyway. So I got a list of a bunch of people that I want to talk about, and then Ian will make it seem like he's transitioning into a spontaneous thought, but he has about 10 things on there too. So we're gonna get to that.
All I saw were guys.
One of which is Ariel Cohen.
Ariel, do I have Ariel on there?
Yeah, number 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. He's there. Yeah,
and number 10 is Rome, which is exciting.
Well, I did that for you. Yeah, and I do have a Suzuki question, a Saya Suzuki question in one of my leagues. I'm curious what you guys think of the best way to handle it. So I'm curious. Yeah, so if we get to it.
Well, we can lead with that. I just want to get one thing out there quickly. Congratulations to Derek Van Reber. There's this dude on Reddit, also on Twitter, who basically, actually congratulations to both of you because I think you're both all the way on the right side of the graph and I'm all the way on the left. He takes all the experts in labor and tout, and I think there's a third one he uses, but basically it's labor and tout, and he tracks, who is the best, like who wins the most. And you two are like, it's like you two, Fred Zinke, Adam Ronis, a couple other guys, all the way on the right. So congratulations. I don't know if you guys saw the graph or the post or anything, but
yeah,
I can find it for you.
I saw it. I did. It was...
All right, Johnny Humble. I mean, come on.
Well, no.
He wrote some nice things in the Reddit post about you.
Oh, did he? I didn't read the Reddit post. I just saw, it was pointed out to me on Twitter. I didn't know what to do with that. Like, what do you say?
He said, here's the guy who's been on both Bulls, is an amazing fantasy baseball player.
Yeah, that's what they
And will never get into political arguments on Twitter.
That's right.
Ian Khan.
That's right. That's all true. It was cool. I did have a moment where I was like, look, DVR and I are both like, it's fun. It's a fun show that we get to do. I get to hang out with you guys. And we get to talk about fantasy baseball and maybe share some things that we do that help us to be successful. You know, that's the whole point, right?
Way to defer. I was very proud to have known you two for so long.
Seriously, we've been doing this. This is our third full year. Is it third or fourth?
We're starting the fourth.
Oh, man. Look at
How
us.
How is that? Really?
I guess that makes sense because
you started in 2019.
Oh, dude, guys. How
great. How about that? Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, we started around now, too. No, it was April. We started a little late. We started like first week of April because the podcast was still... But hey, look, we're still going. Love it. Fourth year. This is like college. It's our senior year. It's our senior year.
You know, you stopped using that analogy with players.
No, I use it
back in season two, I guess.
No, I still use it sometimes. All right. I still use it.
Well, the players are all college age now, so now they're in college.
All the guys that we were using about are now like, 4 year veterans. They're in the show. They're playing the game. Unlike real baseball, it sucks. It's I'm finally at that point where it's like, come on, guys, are you serious? We got enough problems in the world. We can't just watch baseball. I just want to watch some games and look at box scores in the morning now. So
I think they're closer than they're letting on.
Okay, good. Good, because yeah. There's enough problems in the world. We don't need, let's get a little baseball too. I remember when I was a kid in 1982, when the first strike happened, which is like DVR was like 2 and you were like 4. So I was 10 because I was born in 7. I'm the oldest guy here. I remember it was like heartbreaking for me. It was like, really? I was like, what do I do with my life if there's no baseball? And then in 1984, when they went on strike, I quit. Like I stopped following baseball for like 15 years until I started playing fantasy in 2010. I just didn't follow baseball. I went to Yankee games. I went to like Yankee championship, like playoff and championship games because my family had tickets. But that was it. Like I wasn't following the game. So I really hope it doesn't happen. I hope that they don't shorten the season. I really do. They got to get their crap in gear.
I mean, so what, right? Like I, you know, I can watch TV.
Yeah,
shows to watch. You can play some video games. We're getting a Nintendo Switch here in the DeFino family.
It's very exciting. But I like looking. The thing that I think I will miss the most is looking at the box scores. That's the most interesting part for me.
Let's run back OOTP.
I would do that. I would totally do that.
Except it costs a lot of money. I think we need everybody to pitch in a little more this time because not cheap. That's not a cheap endeavor.
Well, I mean, why don't we just keep going with the one that we had?
Because I think we'd still have to pay for that.
All right. Well, whatever. But
you got to pay the commissioner. The commissioner was a big fee, and then that Stats Plus site cost about $100, I think.
Okie doke. Okie doke. Well, we can figure something out, I'm sure. But the good news is there's no good news. The good news will be if they settle. I mean, the Atlanta Braves just came out and they made $400 million or something this past year. So, you know, let's just be good. Just make it good. It doesn't have to be amazing. Like, it doesn't have to make the players, like, they don't have to get everything they want, but give them some stuff that they want, please. Just, let's play baseball. All right,
let's play baseball. All right, let's talk show. That's rates and barrels talk. They don't come here for that. Come on.
Okay, fair enough. Well, but I've never commented on it. I've never spoken about it. I've always been like, oh, it's going to be fine. We'll deal with it when it comes. And now we're like 3 days away, and I'm like, come on, guys. Make it work. Pay the young kids. It's the same thing in the acting world, too. Like, when you're just coming up in the acting world, like, you don't get anything for anything. So I understand, but, you know, it's not about the $40 million players that this is all about. It's not about making sure that they get enough. They've got plenty. It's about the guys who make $400,000 a year, which is still a lot of money, or $600,000, but they're up and down so much that they're making $100,000. Or the guys who are in the minor leagues who are like paying to play. So anyway,
Adelene Rodriguez.
Okay, so what about Adelene Rodriguez? What's the word?
I've talked about this a bunch of times before. Like every year around this time, I go into milb.com, which is very close to DVR's favorite website, and I sort players by home runs. And I just basically look across to like OBP and average and steals and see what else they're good at. You know, so like if a guy hits 32 home runs, but he's only hitting 220, I just ignore him. But if a guy's hitting like, you know, 29 home runs and he has, you know, like a 290 average, or if he's stolen like 30 base, you know, I take a look, and if it's a name I already know, I'm like, all right, next guy. And it just turns up these players. I do the same thing for pitchers. I, you know, sort by strikeouts, you know, look over at the other columns and see what, you know, ERA and whip are super low. I'll take another look. And the guy who popped up a lot, you know, towards the end of last year and again this year was Adelene Rodriguez. And then my next step is, you know, if I like the guy, I'll go do a super deep dive on him and see what, you know, what the deal is. Like, has he done this before? Is this an anomaly? Whatever.
To remind everybody, this is where we found out about Adolis Garcia 2 years ago. Like, this is where, like, the guys that you're going to hear today that I'm going to go, who the, Adelene, what? Are guys that in 2 months might pop up and actually you spend a ton of money in fab. So just to give Nando his due on this stuff, this is a real value to me and to listeners, I think.
But I will say, like, this is just like, I feel, you know, like, oh, I go to minor league baseball and sort. But it works. And I don't know why more people don't do it. But anyway, so Rodriguez, you look at, and then you like, you know, last year had 29 home runs. I think he hit 290. He's in the Detroit system. He spent some time with the Padres before that and the Orioles. And then, like, I was actually looking for his rookie card, and he goes all the way back to the Mets. He's been in the minors for 12 years. He's one of those dudes who came in, like, when he was 18.
Yeah, right.
But look at his I mean, I'm sure you guys are pulling him up right now. Look at his numbers. And maybe DVR can like get deeper into like why he hasn't made it to the majors yet, because his batting average is very good. He's got 20-plus homers, I think, in like four of the last five seasons or three of the last four seasons. I know he's blocked, but if you don't – forget about him being blocked right now. He's good, man, and his numbers are better than Adolis Garcia's in terms of batting average. Doesn't have the steals. Has more power.
Strikes out a ton.
I mean, but that's what happens when you hit home runs. But he strikes out a ton, but he still keeps the batting average high. Usually these guys strike out a ton, they're sitting at like 230, and you're like, all right, this, you know – this right, guy's just selling out.
So
for
let me
power.
Give the numbers. He's hitting 290. He's got 29 home runs last year in 434 at bats. So that's pretty good, I will say. 434, 29 home runs, 127 strikeouts, 42 walks, 290 average, 362 OBP, OPS, 565 slugging, OPS of 927. DVR, I will ask you this. Is this a possible Luke Voit?
I don't think so. I think the biggest issue I would have with Rodriguez is that he had a 26.3% K rate at AAA last year, and that was not good pitching. So he is one of those guys, when you look at the numbers, you're like, how did he not get even just a late season call-up already? But I just stumbled into the numbers. Remember Oswaldo Arcia? I think it's Orlando's older brother. So he kind of faded 5 or 6 years ago from the league, and the last time we saw him in the States, at least in affiliated ball, was AAA Reno in 2017 as a 26-year-old, so younger than Rodriguez is by a few years. He hit 326, 410, 639, and nobody had any interest in trying to play him as a big league player with 24 homers in 93 games. I think this is the type of profile that usually there's not a good enough defensive ability to fall back on, whereas like Adolis Garcia can play good defense, right? So I think that's sometimes the missing link when you look at some of these guys that torch the upper levels of the minor leagues that are old for the level at this point, who aren't getting those chances. Frank Schwindel is kind of another example of someone that did break through last year. I guess if you're looking at Rodriguez, I think the question you also ask is, the Tigers weren't good last year. How, if he was there and he didn't get a chance, why would this year be different?
Yeah, I mean, the only...
I actually Googled him with arrest after his name, because like there was, I couldn't think of a reason why, like unless this guy's got some crazy baggage, but he doesn't.
You put in arrest? Rodriguez arrest?
Yeah, I wanted to know. Did he do something crazy?
I just learned why when you start to Google something, it auto-fills with such weird extra words at the end. It's because of Nando.
Nando DeFino and his type.
Greg Bird, clown school?
Come up with a better reason why he hasn't cracked yet.
At 30 years old, you know, there's a certain moment where you're an organizational player. But here's what I'll say. Look, let's say Mickey goes down, Torkelson's not ready, and they want to keep Scope at second base. There just wasn't much space last year. I mean, with Miguel Cabrera there, he's going to be there, and they're not going to sit him. So I think, look, there's a 12% chance, I'm going to say, that you got something here. So, cool. If you're doing a 10, people are doing their drafts right now, and that's something we're going to get into later, for their first-year player drafts. Adolin Rodriguez is available. Promise.
Yeah, he's a 50th round draft champions pick.
Yeah, so he's available in the 9th or 10th round of your draft. You want to take him, see if lightning strikes in a bottle in spring, and then either keep him or drop him. Sure, you know, keep your eye on him. If he's... Nando's going to keep his eye on him now. Like, we will know how this guy is doing.
Yeah, this is an obsession now. This is like, right. Oh, yeah. I got to know
cards.
Everything about him. Yeah. It's not worth it.
Cards.
They're so old. There's not even like a, you know...
Right. So there's... But you know, again, this is one of those Nando guys that we laugh at, and then, you know, they do stuff. So, Adolin Rodriguez, folks. Michael Baumann. Let's move on to Michael Baumann. Baumann? Made you, because I'm looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
And what about the numbers made you go, ooh, I like this guy?
What are you not seeing? Like, his ratios are very low. Not very low. His ERA is good. His whip is very good. Mm-hmm. And his strikeout rate has climbed up to, you know, double digits now in the minors. I think, you know, he gets a back end spot in that rotation, which is very, very, he's an Oriole, by the way. He's an Orioles pitcher. Goes by Mike now, by the way, I learned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, you're right, Mike.
Yeah.
It says, all right.
I got so used to calling him Michael.
How long have you been talking about Mike Bauman?
Two or three years, man. Okay. I've asked Dan Connolly. I've had several conversations with Dan Connolly about him and Zach Lowther.
This is your buddy who is the assistant general manager that you were going to take, and then you kind of just turned your back at the last minute and said, I got to take Billy Bean because I took Artie Moreno. Is that the guy?
I don't talk baseball with Sig. I don't like to. Okay. I don't want him to think like I'm using him for, you know, information for my fantasy team. He's my pal.
I get it, but like, yeah. I'd like to know what he thinks of Mike/Michael Bauman.
Dan Connolly's the Orioles beat writer, and he had some good things to say.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, I don't want to get, you know, because then every time Sig's like, oh, there's Nando again, want to know about, you know, whatever.
DVR, what do you think of Mike Bauman?
Sounds more like a future high leverage reliever, great slider.
Oh, DVR is just Johnny Coldwater today, man. Come on. Don't you like any of these?
You have an A through Q list of players, and I like some of these guys, and they're not really like ordered in a way that I can figure out. This is stream of consciousness.
Completely.
This is just stream of consciousness, and we're probably not going to get to all of them. There's some at the bottom of the list that we may need to go to different parts of the list.
We can skip a ton of guys. I mean, we've talked about Greg Bird enough on this show. We've talked about Ryland Bannon enough on this show.
We can skip Corey
Morris. We talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. Brent Honeywell, everybody knows.
Morris is good. Morris is very interesting. Morris, of the players you've got on this list, of the pitchers you've got on this list, at least, I think he's the best pitcher of all of them, and I think it's actually by a pretty wide margin. Bauman is probably a future closer candidate because they have an unsettled closer situation. I like Tyler Wells as the short-term option. A healthy Tanner Scott would be a machine, but Bauman's the kind of guy, I think they'll try him as a starter. If it doesn't work, he moves to the bullpen, and he can just quickly move into a prominent role because that's a wide-open path, really.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the turn it up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
All right, let's talk about Seiya Suzuki. Let's take a break from Nando's list of randoms that DVR is just going to hate on.
No, he didn't hate on him. I mean, there's a guy on that list that I know DVR loves. In Josh Lowe.
Is it Josh Mears?
Josh Lowe. You love Josh Lowe, right, TVR?
Oh, yeah. Good prospect. Does everything we like. Might be a little bit of a batting average risk, but for a power speed combo and a guy that's a good center fielder, you could see it working out like very quickly. I don't know how long the Rays can justify sending him back to Durham. He was there for over 400 plate appearances last year, so it's probably an early season demotion and then a quick call-up unless they clear space in the outfield. I mean, post-lockout, Kevin Kiermaier probably gets moved somewhere, even if the Rays have to eat some money. Like I would think they want to free up playing time for Lowe and for Vidal Brujan, too. So Josh Lowe, I think of the position players that you got in your list, Nando, I think he has the most short-term and long-term appeal probably in the widest universe of leagues.
What about Nolan Jones? Everyone loved Nolan Jones 2 years ago.
That's Ian's turf.
He took a step back. I mean, he really did take a step back. I want to look at the numbers again, but my memory of Jones is that last year he really did struggle, and he's always been a good. Hold on one second. There we go.
Nolan Jones last year hit 200 with 4 home runs. Oh, I'm sorry. Look at the fall league. 238 with 13 home runs and 10 steals with a .356 on base percentage.
Right. That's what I was going to say, is that he's got a great eye. He's good in OBP. But I think that there's always been the expectation that there'd be a little bit more power coming up. I mean, he was a top 100 prospect for a while now. And I think that it's looking a little less exciting. Let's put it that way. It's not looking like it's going to come to full fruition in the same way. Yeah, I mean, a lot of strikeouts too. And actually, he suffered a little bit with walks too. Like he really took a step back. Might be a nice time to buy on the dip, you know, if you can get him as a throw-in in a dynasty league trade. But he's not a building block in the same way, I think, even for the Indians as they were before. But if Jose Ramirez if Jose Ramirez does get traded from the Guardians to maybe Seattle, to maybe Toronto, then Nolan Jones will probably have a spot, I would think.
Did Nolan Jones make the top 401?
No.
Wow.
No.
That's a fall from grace.
A 238 average will do that to you with 122 strikeouts and 341 at bats. That's really, what's that number, DVR?
Oh, 30. He's got a 30% K rate last year.
30% K rate in AAA. Not so good. Not so fancy.
Got a general question for both of you. And I don't know if you've thought a lot about this, a little about this. It's not on the rundown. My fault. I should have put it there. How much of a pass are you willing to give players anywhere in the minor leagues who didn't play in 2020 and had to come back and start figuring it out again in 2021? I mean, we all would have loved to see Nolan Jones bring the K rate down. He's always had a strikeout issue ever since he was at high A. So I know I said earlier, AAA pitching last year was down. If you struck out a lot against that AAA pitching, that could be a pretty big warning sign. At least Nolan Jones is only 23, turns 24 in May.
Mm-hmm.
How much does the lost season weigh into your willingness to take that buy low sort of opportunity? Nolan Jones is a guy that had his stock drop last year. Jeter Downs is another good example of a guy that took a pretty big tumble based on expectations previously. Like he didn't look like the guy we expected him to be. I think he had a good fall league based on a lot of things people were writing and saying at that time. So are you looking for former top 50 prospects that had a step back last year that you think might have been more the result of the lost 2020 season than anything else?
Nando, you want to go first?
So with Nolan Jones, for example, that OBP that's over 100 from his batting average, that to me is a redeemable quality. That means he still had patience. He wasn't pressing as much. You know what I mean? Like it's for me, it's like I will give a bit of a pass to the batting average. You know, strikeout rate, I don't know if that'll follow him forever, but 13 home runs and 10 steals and 341 at-bats, that shows a lot of promise still. And I probably want to, like, looking at this now, I'd probably want to go dig into his game log and see exactly how that came. Like, was he rusty early? Was he striking out a ton early, you know, pressing, and then, like, maybe by the end of the year, you know, the last couple months, he kind of evened out a little bit. You know, when did the home runs come? When did the steals come? I assume the OBP was pretty steady throughout. So, yeah, a guy like that with that kind of line with a couple redeeming qualities, I still have faith in. And for me, it's just a little bit of rust, not a loss of skill. Or proving that the skill was a mirage before, I guess.
You know, it's a great question. It's a cool question. It's a fun question.
DVR, write a column about it, DVR.
He's busy enough. Come on, give him a break. Give the guy a break.
I know.
When put in those terms. But so I'm looking at my Maki team.
Yeah.
Sorry, had to do it. I'm looking at my Maki team.
Oh, you know what? We don't have to get into it. Never mind. Sorry.
Dr. Thomas Scott and I are teammates and came in second place to Derek Van Riper last year, sadly, in the last weekend. Nolan Jones is on this team. We can keep Nolan Jones if we want. I don't know that we're not going to see a guy that we like better in the fifth or sixth round or be able to get Nolan Jones back in the fifth or sixth round. Do you know what I mean? And also, it's an average league. If it was an OBP league, I might go a different route, and I might say, hey, maybe we'll hold him. But as it is, that to me is an interesting question. So, but yes, I'll give a break to that. I saw it with my own son. You know how he played, how he was playing baseball before the pandemic hit, and then how he was playing baseball after the pandemic hit. It was a challenge. Took a little while to get back into the rhythm of things.
Can you imagine if they called him the Spiders? And not the Guardians. No one would be still calling them the Indians by accident. You know what I mean? That's just a cool name, the Spiders.
I like the Guardians. Love the Guardians.
Really?
Yeah, why not? But the Guardians.
I guess it's cool because it's based on the statues and stuff. I don't know, man. Spiders, that's so much more fun.
You can do a lot of cool stuff with the logo for the Spiders. The Guardians logo, I think, looks a lot like the create your own franchise logos, clip art kind of thing. It reminds me of the Troy Glaus Angels with the like the wings logo. Like that's what it reminds me of.
That makes me laugh.
I like
that's
that.
That's funny. That's good.
You're right. That's a good call.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I'm glad it's not the Spiders. There's too many people who I know who I'm not one of these people. My wife is not one of these people, but hate spiders. Like people hate them. Like they're like deeply afraid of them.
I won't kill a spider.
Well, you won't kill a stink bug.
Do you put them outside?
I will kill a stink bug. Yeah. I put them in a cup and throw them outside.
That's what I do too. Why do you do that?
I don't know. You know, I read a lot of mythology, you know, 10 years ago ish. I was deep into that. And I was like, oh, that's Arachne. And it's very sad. You're killing a woman who was turned into a spider out of spite. But also because they kill all the insects. Mainly because they kill all the insects.
Okay. That's not why I do it. I think
I
have
some...
You don't
do it because of Arachne? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't. I don't even know what that is. What are you... DVR, can we just
what
go sidebar
right here?
What
is happening right now?
That is a no. That is DVR saying a no.
She was a old mythological figure who challenged Venus for her beauty, and Venus got upset and, you know, challenged her to a spinoff, basically. And when she lost, she turned into a spider, and that's why spiders make webs. If you give me a minute, I got a mythology book right here. I can pull it out and read you the entire story.
I think we're all right. I think that was a good summary.
Yeah, it's pretty good. DVR, I want to ask you a question about a player. I'm curious where you are with him, and I like hearing your melodious voice.
Well, wait, why don't you kill spiders? Because of mosquitoes and flies and stuff?
No, I read somewhere that it was like bad luck to kill a spider, like that they're, and maybe it was just about what you're talking about or something else, but I always capture spiders and put them outside. And we do get an occasional spider here in New York. DVR, I want to ask you this about
DVR is quiet because he pulls the legs off of them.
Forrest, yeah. It's his favorite website. Forrest Whitley. Forrest Whitley. Are you open to this?
I thought there was more there. What scenario am I opening my mind to with Forrest Whitley?
Let's say Keeper League, Dynasty League. If he's available in your first year player draft, if he's just sitting there and he's on the wire, not on the wire, able to be drafted, where do you take him?
In a first year Keeper League, how many teams are we talking about?
First year, I'm sorry.
Are we
first year
like
player draft. Yeah, so think Maki. He wasn't drafted. He wasn't kept. Where are you taking are you taking Forrest Whitley? And if so, in the first, you have 12 rounds in khaki. You have 12 rounds.
You better start calling it normal before you mess up here.
Where would you say I want him? Because there's a spot for me.
Probably one of the last few rounds. I mean, if I get 10 minor leaguers in a league.
Yeah.
And we're talking again, 15 plus teams. So
it's 150 prospects.
Right. I think in those leagues, there's a case to stash him, because the ranking right now anywhere is going to be as low as it's ever been for good reason, right?
For sure.
Like why would you have him ranked aggressively right now? But it's more about where he could go if he's healthy again. How much of the collapse in his ranking is health related, and how much of that was performance before he got hurt? Like it's some performance. Right, it's not entirely the injuries. 2019 was a disaster, and
but he was hurt probably
47 innings. Well, the control was just gone.
Right,
he had a home run problem at AAA, and the little time he was there,
wouldn't you say that he was just pitching through the pain? Isn't that like that's how I look at that when I
totally
see a ridiculous
possible.
ERA like that?
But here's the thing about Whitley that always made him appealing to me, and why I would take the chance late in a keeper, like one of my very last minor league keepers right now. He had three above average pitches.
Yeah.
Three clearly above average pitches and probably two others that could get there, right? One of the deepest arsenals we've seen from a prospect pitcher before. The questions were about command. If you have that many pitches, even without command, your floor should be a late inning reliever, like an exciting late inning reliever. So that's pretty good right there. But I also could just see him working his way back and quietly kind of becoming good again. Like that wouldn't be surprising to me at all based on the trajectory he was on coming out of 2017 and 2018, right? He's still pretty young. He's still only 24 years old.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing about a player like this, though, you have a major injury, you have a guy that had workload issues along the way because they were trying to be careful with them and lost time. how long does it take Whitley, if he's good, to get to the 150, 160 inning range, right? You're going to have these either demotions to the bullpen, time in the minor leagues. You're going to have all these speed bumps for the first couple of years that he comes back, I think. I don't think you're going to take this guy and just max out his workload right away. So you have to kind of accept that as a part of his reduced ceiling. But in deep leagues where 150 minor leaguers are rostered, even if you don't see him in the top 150 anymore, he's probably worth stashing because he has the raw stuff to jump back into the top 50 overall.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm looking at his prospect rankings from his career, and he was a top 10 prospect by Baseball America prior to 2018, prior to 2019. He was 10 and 18, 5 and 19, 25 and 20, and then dropped to 80 and 21. And he's just an under-the-radar guy to me from that list that I'm going, you know, that could work. Might that work? That could still work. And is it worth, you know, if you have 20 minor leaguers that you're, if you're like, I'm in one league where it's a 15 team league, you can keep 20 minor leaguers. Is he worth a spot there? Absolutely. In that league, he was traded in 2019, pretty much straight up for Jacob DeGrom, which at the time seemed ridiculous and later seemed idiotic, but he was that high of a high level prospect, which also is Brent Honeywell. Wasn't quite that high, but who is also on this list is another guy. That's like, you know what? Maybe they show up. Maybe it comes together. It takes time sometimes.
But I'm more. I don't think Honeywell. So I was about to say, and Appel and Whitley are in this. Like Honeywell's pitched a lot of innings and shown it before. And I mean, I grant that he's come back from like four elbow surgeries.
Yeah.
But he's on the A's. You know, he pitched last year a little bit, like enough for me to be like, all right, he's fine, he's good. And he's like Whitley, as we just kind of thought, like didn't have great numbers. Even before 2019, I mean, he had a couple 3.5 plus ERAs. I think he had a 4 when he was 18, but whatever. But Honeywell's pitched like innings before his injury, and he was good, very good before his injury.
Yeah, 2017 is the reason. 2016 and 2017 is the reason why you take a chance on Brent Honeywell, because in 2016, long time ago, 115 innings, 117 strikeouts with a 2.34 ERA and a 1.032 whip. That's very impressive. And that was in high A and double A. And then in 2017, in double A and triple A, his ERA and whip went up a little bit. 3.49 ERA, 1.237 whip. Really not that good. But what catches my eye is 136 innings, 172 strikeouts. That's pretty good.
Honeywell's really good. 698.87 NFBC ADP right now.
Yeah, and where is Forrest? Well, Whitley.
He's 1,000. He's like 1,000.
Yeah, Whitley's forgotten. A long-term play for me. I mean, Honeywell could actually come up and do something this year, but Whitley is a longer-term play.
Yeah, I think there's also this sort of, I don't know, fear of targeting players that the Rays give up on, but at the same time, the Rays churn out so much talent that they have a legitimate 40-man roster crunch pretty much every year. And if you run out of options and you can't use a player the way you want to, I think that could also kind of steer them to make decisions that, you know, in a world where they had more option years, they wouldn't make that decision at all.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case with Honeywell specifically, but look at the Willy Adames situation. Like the Rays trading away Willy Adames, that didn't happen because he wasn't good. It was because of the long-term roster crunch they had and trying to make the pieces fit and saying, hey, we can get some pitchers with options that actually help build its depth over here and clear space for our best prospect maybe in our entire franchise history. I think the comp for Forrest Whitley is Dylan Bundy from a long-term mm-hmm. workload perspective, because Bundy got hurt, I think that was in 2012 or 2013. I forget when he actually suffered the injury.
Yeah, that was when he was, you know, top three prospect was 2012.
And it was this long road back, you know, 14 and 15. He pitched a combined 63 innings those years. Got back to Baltimore in 2016, threw 109 innings that year. And they were very careful with him. It was split between the rotation and the bullpen. He went from 109 to 169, kind of stayed at that same level in 2018, dropped down to 160 in 2019. Some of that by 2019 was just him not being effective enough to pitch deep into games.
Yeah.
Right? You're running a 479 ERA. You're not going to get to 200 innings in most teams because things are not going very well. You're coming out of the game. So that could be sort of the shape of the workload trajectory. I don't want to say he's the next Dylan Bundy from a skills perspective, because I think even as great as people thought Dylan Bundy was as a prospect, if my memory served me correctly, Forrest Whitley had even more weapons, even more talent to work with. And Bundy was a very good prospect.
Bundy had that one dominant season. I think it was in low A or high A where he struck out like 100 guys in like 40 innings or something. Like, it was silly. It was like it's actually worth finding. I'm getting my computer taken in because this is not working so good.
But, are you stalling? I got a topic we can talk about if you're stalling.
I am stalling. So yeah, shift the topic, although it just came up.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Have you guys ever had a cortado or a cortadito?
You know, I don't really drink the small coffees as often as I probably should because I'm a bit of an uncultured oaf.
You know, we're obviously stereotype. Got, you know, the little espresso maker, the mocha. I forget what you call it. I think it's a mocha. Anyway, so we've been making a lot of espresso here in the house, and I need it because I'm up so early now with the baby and everything. But there are a couple bakeries up the hill, and one place has cortado, one place has cortadito, and I've been getting them, and I love them. And then stupid South Park had all these, you know, they're making fun of city people coming in and buying all the houses up in South Park. And all they kept repeating was like Wi-Fi, LaCroix water, and then cortado. And I realized cortado was like a stupid hipster thing, and now it's kind of ruined it for me.
Screw you guys. I'm going ham. Guys, ham. Guys, ham.
Ariel Cartman.
Now do Ariel Cohen doing Cartman. Ariel Cartman.
It's really not. I got a couple of good Ariels that are sticking. Okay, so I found the numbers. There weren't as exciting as I thought. Oh, for God's sakes.
This is amazing. Whatever's going on there is amazing.
It's an absolute tech meltdown.
No, that was my Game of Thrones with my dentist calling again to confirm. Are you serious? Will you stop? I confirmed. I told you an hour ago that I'm coming in on Monday. What is wrong with you?
I think the question is, why is your dentist a Game of Thrones ringtone?
No, it's all Game of Thrones ringtone.
Oh.
I just really like the ringtone. It might be time to change the ringtone, but it's been that for a long time. It just makes me feel like
it's a current TV show, yeah.
It's
I got a Charles in Charge ringtone if you want it.
Yes.
We could do what?
I got a Charles in Charge ringtone if you want it.
Yeah, there you go. Scott Baio, he's the man. 103 innings, 119 strikeouts, 0.91 whip with a 2.08 ERA. I seem to remember, but that was split between high A, low A, and double A. And that was when he was 19 years old. And he was just, so that's the split version of it. I think if I could break it down further, what he did in low A was like ridiculous. And then as he went up the thing. But I remember, man, Dylan Bundy. That's the thing. I think that's where I learned not to trust prospect pitchers. I traded Dylan Bundy straight up for Justin Verlander in 2014 or 2012, 2013. It was before he was injured. He was still a top prospect. And I just remembered the next number of years going, God, am I glad I got off that? Because it just turned into a disaster, you know? And that's what happens with these young pitchers. I just don't, you know, it's nothing more fun than having a great young pitcher. But it's just so darn rare. Jose Fernandez, like, tricked me for a couple of years, but there was only one Jose Fernandez. You know, maybe Alek Manoah, but they're worth more in trade than they are in growth, I think. That's my opinion. Saya Suzuki has not signed with the team. In this dynasty league that I've been playing in, with Robert Mrazek, I'm co-commissioner of the league with Rabbi Ari Sunshine. We got a question about whether Suzuki could be drafted in this year's draft. Because typically you're not allowed to be drafted unless you're signed by a team. But because of the lockout, the thought process for me was, no, you can draft him. He's going to come. And if he doesn't come and you draft him, then you have a choice. You can either let him keep and stay there on the guy's team, or it becomes a risk that if he doesn't sign, you just lose him, right? So it adds a little. I just always want strategy to be part of everything that happens. And people were like, no, it's you're making an exception. It's not right to make an exception. And, you know, you're changing the rules. And if we're doing that, then should you be able to draft Drew Jones? Is it an open universe then? So I'm curious, DVRU first, then Nando, because DVRU, the best commissioner there is. How do you see handling, say, a Suzuki?
I think if you're going to change the rules from what they were because of the lockout, you do have to make it in a broader rule, whether that's open universe players or any player who's played professionally in Japan or Korea or Mexico or whatever leagues you want to include. I think it's got to be a little more broad.
Do you really, though? I'm going to fight you because
you can do whatever you want. It's your league. Like you can make an exception.
Here's why I think an exception. Ariel Cohen is actually calling me right now. Should I bring him on the call? No.
Yeah, do it.
I don't think I can.
Ask him what he thinks of Cortados.
Okay, hold on. I will actually bring him on the call.
No, don't.
Ariel, you are on live on Under the Radar. Can you want to say a quick hello and then a quick goodbye?
Absolutely. Hi, everybody.
I don't know if it's What's the real up, one Ariel? Or not.
What if I told you, Nando, that this is actually just me putting a little static on the phone? You want to hear me do it again? Go ahead.
No, he doesn't have that ability.
Hello, this is Ariel Cohen, and I'm wishing everybody a great fantasy baseball season.
How is that? Ariel, I'll call you later. I got to go. I got to go back to the show.
What is going on right now?
I don't know. It's like a soundboard. It's just
because you wanted to hear Ariel Cohen's voice on the show, and then Ariel Cohen was calling me because we're doing... You know, we're doing our prep work together, and so he was calling me because I did a lot of good stuff last night. I put together a lot of good stuff, and so I'm sure he was calling me about that. And I just thought, hey, all right, well, there's nobody else who I would have maybe if Glenn Colton called, I might have done that. Sorry, DVR. I know that's we're gonna get bad reviews because of that. I blame myself. So you say if you're gonna change it because in labor we're changing the rules this year.
Can't you just ask people to put some good reviews in?
I don't care. It's fine.
I don't like when podcasts do that. But
no, don't. We don't do that.
But Ian Khan has gotten some unfair negative reviews on iTunes, I think. I haven't checked in a while. This is going back to last year. You know.
Yeah, there was one or two not so nice ones, but that's all right. It's okay.
Just, you know, if you're not doing anything today, go to iTunes. Write a nice review about Ian. You can crap on me and DVR. No, just be like, hey, no. Ian Khan is the man.
Jesus, this is all my fault, Derek. I sent us down this road.
Marty Decker is the effing man. Write that.
Okay, so the thing is, in AL labor, we're changing the rules because there are guys who aren't signed yet, right? So I got on the phone with Steve Gardner. Steve talked to a bunch of people, and he came up with an alternate set of what's going to happen this season, only for the lockout. And what we're doing is we're taking the top 12 players in that are unsigned, and we're going to do a Fabapalooza at the beginning of the season. And it's only for this year that we're doing it, and it's only because of the lockout. And that's how I thought about it. So then what I proposed last night was that we just move the draft back. Instead of doing it this Sunday, we move it back another month or something so that we can wait to see what happens with Suzuki. We can see, you know, typically we get a little bit of spring training news to hear, oh, this guy's doing this, which moves guys around. But all right, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that, but then the flip side is there's no Saya Suzuki this year in the league, or he turns into a fab player as soon as he makes the major leagues.
I think you can let him be part of the draft. I just think you have to allow other players that could make that same move be draft. Who's going to actually draft them? It's a keeper league, so there's
some of that. This is full dynasty, so you keep them forever.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty strange. I think the more I've thought about dynasty leagues, the more I've wanted those leagues to just be anybody you want. Like XFL is not straight dynasty, but it has that rule, and having played it for a little while,
it's fun.
I actually like that as a way of just saying, hey, you know, whatever you want to prioritize, you want to, you know about a player that's going to graduate high school and be a top 10 pick and you want to be ahead of the curve, great. Take that chance. Wait it out. See if you're right.
I agree with that, but that would change the whole measure of the league. Going back to the Devil's Rejects, which is a league that I'm in, I share a team with Wilson Kerriman in that league, and it's so much fun because it's pickups whenever you want. You get four pickups a week, and it's open universe. I really recommend that. I know that as I'm thinking about putting together another Dynasty League, and might do it if the season doesn't start on time, that I would definitely set it up that it's open universe. Pick up a player whenever you want them. I really like that setup. Now, here, let me ask you this. This is another question I have on this list. For a Dynasty Startup League, what about the idea? People never do this. It's always a draft. What about an auction startup league?
Why not? I think it makes everything that we do that we can turn into that format and get away from a snake draft, I think is a step in the right direction.
Fully agree. Nando?
I would like to really get into that NFBC auction league that we were talking about a while ago. Because Jenny Butler tweeted us the format and it was amazing.
I did an auction this week with Glenn Colton and Rick Wolf at RT. Because I did their show last week. I sat in for Rick. And we did a 10... Listen to this. It was a 10-team mixed league auction. And so, absurd. A 10-team mixed league auction. It's like, you know, it's ridiculous numbers. It was so much fun.
Did someone go for $60?
No. I think what? I went high on a bunch of guys. I think the highest was like 46. But just the mid game, just when you got $68 left and everyone else has 54, just that extra choice, that little moment. And I was, you know, Glenn and I talked for like most of the thing because it's a best ball. It's nothing. I mean, you know, but it was so much fun. Do auctions, 100%. So much more fun. Fully engaged. Every player you can bid on. You can bid on every player and then go, it's too high. Then I'm out. As opposed to, you know, you make your pick and then you wait and you sweat. Like, oh my God, is the guy going to make it back? And then if he makes it back, it only feels okay. And if he doesn't make it back, it feels miserable. That's not fun. What's fun about that? Auction. So yes, Dynasty Auction, yeah, you're a yes on that. Derek and Nando, you're a yes on that as well. Yes? Okay, now here's the next question. 12 team, 15 team, 20 team.
I think this one is actually answered by what people have chosen to play so far. Like, there's a difference between what I like and what most people like to play and what most people can play. And I think part of the problem here is that we're ruling out these ideas of smaller leagues. We don't design a baseball league that's fun to play with 6 people or 8 people. That seems like a problem, right? Because the only times I've ever played in leagues that small are home run derby pools. And I know it's because we say, oh, well, it'd be an all-star team. Everybody would have great players. Are you sure? Are you sure we can't make a game that works well for a smaller group of people interested in playing? Because I think that might actually be a way of attracting more people to play fantasy baseball in the first place. So I think 20-team leagues are fun. I think they're just not viable for most people.
You know, the problem isn't the size, it's the length. 60-day windows. You know what it is, though? I think you can start that 60-day window whenever. Like, if you want to start a league on May 13th and go to July 13th, I guess you'd have to go a little longer because, whatever, all-star break, whatever. Forget about that for a minute. That's a league that I think a lot of people would enjoy. It's short. You don't waste your entire summer trying to scramble for fab at, like, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night while you're out drinking, which may have happened before several times. But, like, yeah.
Nobody's doing that on a Saturday night. They're doing it on Sunday night. But you know what? Wait. I am always poo-pooing you just because you're so full of crap. No, I'm always poo-pooing you about stuff. But I'm going to throw out an idea here. You may be right about this. Because if you look at the NBA All-Star game and how they set that up, the idea that you could win a quarter is kind of cool. And then you have an overall as well. But like, who wins the first quarter? Who wins the second quarter? Who wins the third quarter? Who wins the fourth quarter? So I'm not advocating for just, you know, half the season. But I don't mind that idea that, like, you get a little something for winning the first half, even if you just split it up into two halves. Like, whoever comes in first in the first half or comes in first in the second half. I don't even know if I like that idea, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I like the length of the leagues. I like that it goes 162. Please do go 162. All right, but so 15 team, if you had to make a choice, if I'm making a Dynasty Auction League, I think I'm going to make it weekly, not daily. 12-team or 15-team. I'm not going to do 20. And I would never, I mean, you know, 15-team is de rigueur. I don't know. Maybe 12 might be more fun, a little bit more manageable, a little easier to get back on the horse.
Well, yeah, I think that's the problem in a long-term league is that if you get to a point where a third of the league or half the league is just playing at a higher level than the rest of the teams, you can't make up that ground. There's just not enough talent coming into the league to offset a massive imbalance if you get there. So the hardest thing about setting up a league that runs for multiple years is getting a group that's competitive enough where that doesn't happen at that rate, at least.
Yeah, no. I mean, my plan is to put together like a all-star dynasty league, you know, like everyone's good. Everyone's great. That's the idea. And because a 1 week spot really can throw the balance out of the question. And then my last question for today is, DVR, do you miss winter at all?
Nope.
What's it like?
Nothing about it.
You miss nothing about it. You're just happy as a clam, although I don't know how happy clams are, but you're happy as a clam?
Yeah. I mean, I don't scrape ice off my car.
Uh-huh.
I don't almost fall down walking my dog down the sidewalk.
It's pretty nice out there.
You know, not having snow and ice to deal with constantly, you know, not having as many terrible drivers with an extra variable every time I have to go somewhere is nice. There's plenty of bad drivers here, but the fact that the roads aren't snowy and icy, you know, makes them just a little bit less of a hazard to me. So I don't miss winter at all.
Gotcha. All right. The phone's ringing again, but I shut off the ringer this time, so it's not going to go. That's cool.
Thanks for letting us know every time your phone rings.
Hey, listen,
who's calling now? Put him on the show.
No, this is a guy because and it's not even that interesting. So if I went down this road, so actually,
I like when you almost reveal stuff and then you pull it back because you're like, oh no, this is a show.
Right. Instead of writing reviews, would you send us either emails or on Twitter your ideas about this Auction Dynasty Startup League? And things that you would like to see it have. That would be really cool.
What's that email address, Ian?
Podcast@thefantasyathletic.com. Nah? Is that it? No? That it?
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
If you get a bounce back, just forward it.
No, but just at Nando DeFino, at Derek Van Riper, at Ian Con 4. And we'll talk about stuff after, you know, next week on our show. It's been great. It was so much fun to be back with you guys. Sorry I was a little crazy. Sorry I brought Ariel on. I mean, I'm not really sorry because, you know, when you get Ariel Cohen to come on a show, it's about as good a thing as you can have. I mean, he really is good. If you look at that chart, I mean, yeah, I may be Ian Con, maybe all the way at the right, and Derek Van Riper, but look at who's at the top in terms of points scored. That would be me, Ariel Cohen, 2016 presidential candidate, and you can look it up on Wikipedia.
The streak lives.
There you go.
For the man, we gotta get out of here, who 100% has an Ariel Cohen soundboard and uses it once a day, Ian Kahn.
It's true, I do, once a day.
For the man who we now know has Buddy Lembeck wallpaper on his iPhone's home screen.
That's an incredibly obscure reference. Very well done. I would love to know, by the way, why you are not on board the Aaron Ashby train, whoever wrote that.
That was not me.
Oh, that was me. Hey, that was me.
Next week.
But you guys wanted to skip all the way ahead to Ian's stuff, so, you know.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, talk about building an auction league for the 100th time on the show.
Hey,
let's leave Aaron Ashby off.
Fair.
We gotta go. We'll see you next week. More good stuff coming. Hopefully we got an agreement by then. Bye.
Bye. Good talk.